This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
It really opens up, you know, a vacuum in that part of the continent. Sudan has 7 bordering countries. It also links the Arab world with Africa. And so it's had huge impacts.
That's Joseph Siegel, Research Director at the Africa Center for Strategic Studies on the International Rescue Committee, ranking Sudan at the top of its emergency watch list for 2024. Details coming up. Also, Russia has reopened its embassy in Burkina Faso after nearly 32 years. And our listeners send their New Year's greetings. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. It's been a grim year for large portions of the world. In the Middle East, years of simmering tensions broke into an intense war between Hamas and Israel in the Gaza Strip. The United Nations says the bulk of the region has been displaced, with hundreds of thousands of Palestinians forced to flee their homes, and more than 20,000 were killed in just over two months. In Ukraine, a months-long counteroffensive against Russia's invasion has wound up in a stalemate, but the fighting continues to kill thousands on both sides. News outlets focused much of their attention on these two wars, but Joseph Siegel, Research Director at the Africa Center for Strategic Studies, tells VOA's Carol Van Dam, an explosion of violence was also occurring in Africa, especially in Sudan.
Now, this is a country of 45 million people. It had had its share of challenges, but it had been mostly stable. And for this conflict to emerge between rival military units and commanders has really capsized a very important country in Northeast Africa, and has caused millions of people to be displaced, tens of thousands of people to lose their lives. And, you know, it really opens up, you know, a vacuum in that part of the continent. Sudan has 7 bordering countries. It also links the Arab world with Africa. And so it's had huge impacts for the continent. And as it remains unresolved and continues to deteriorate, we could expect that we're going to feel the ramifications for that into 2024. I think the other big conflict on the continent that we're really need to keep an eye on is in the Sahel. And there we've seen a continued escalation of militant Islamist group attacks in Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. And this, the relentless attacks and expansion of these attacks are now pushing onto the border areas with some of the coastal West African countries, especially Benin and Togo. But in this past year, we've seen some, you know, almost 12,000 fatalities there. This is up from about 8,000 a year ago. And so there really doesn't seem to be an end in sight, which in turn is causing massive levels of dislocation. In fact, Africa saw a record level of forcibly displaced people, about 40 million people.
That's a lot of people. And that you're not talking just Sudan, you're talking other countries too, right?
I'm talking about the continent, yes. And so it continues the trend we've seen over the past 6 or 7 years. Most of it's conflict related, though.
And it wasn't just the civil wars and coups that people are worried about. It's also the hottest year on record. And droughts and floods were both big, huge problems in several countries in Africa. That has caused the displacement of millions of people too, right?
It's true. We're seeing more and more direct effects from climate change. You know, Africa is at the epicenter of a lot of these changes. As you mentioned, it's getting hotter, drier. We're seeing more floods in some places as the oceans warm. We're seeing more cyclones hit, especially East Africa. And this is causing more displacement of populations. People are moving to cities. It's feeding other forms of instability that we're seeing on the continent, including human trafficking and other sorts of illicit trafficking that are happening.
I found it a little surprising because of the attention of the Gaza, Hamas-Israel war and the Russia-Ukraine war that in its annual emergency watch list, the International Rescue Committee did not put either one of those places at the top of its list. It put Sudan at the top of its list.
That is commendable, I think, on the part of the International Rescue Committee, because Sudan has largely been overlooked from these other obviously very important conflicts. Sudan, you know, is a country of 45 million people that is basically becoming a failed state and with implications for all of its border, neighboring countries, seven different neighboring countries with Sudan. They're all reeling from the effects of that conflict.
That was Joseph Siegel, Director of Research at the Africa Center for Strategic Studies. He was speaking with VOA's Carol Van Dam in Washington. African leaders have participated in at least six summits in the past year, fostering connections with counterparts across six different capitals, from Washington in the west to India in the east. This year has been marked by diplomatic efforts to strengthen relations, promote business and trade, enhance security, and shape future geopolitical engagements. Africa's influence grows at a time when food insecurity and conflicts over territories threaten global peace. Mohammed Yusuf reports.
Africa seeks to become a focus of global power and draw the attention of influential nations seeking to build political and economic relations with the 54 countries on the continent. In the past 12 months, African leaders have visited European Union headquarters in Brussels, as well as India, Russia and the United States, Saudi Arabia, South Africa and Turkey. They have also met with the Chinese President Xi Jinping in South Africa to discuss China's Belt and Road Infrastructure Initiative, climate change financing, business and trade deals, global peace and security. Professor Chacha Nyaigoti Chacha, an expert in diplomacy and international relations, says Africa is an important player in global affairs and that countries would like to engage with the continent on several issues.
They are making these meetings happen because they want to create strategies on how they can continue assuring the African states that they are friends of the Africans, and consequently expecting that African countries will be able to continue relating with them amicably. And of course, they expect a lot of economic gains and political goodwill.
Some experts, however, have described some of the summits African leaders attended as gatherings that lack substance and perpetuate power imbalances in international political systems. With conflicts like Russia's war in Ukraine and the Israel-Hamas war, political experts say international gatherings provide a means for some countries to seek Africa's support. Paul Melly is a consulting fellow with the Africa Programme at Britain's Chatham House, a research organisation. He says Africa can be an influential voice in venues like the United Nations, where countries vote on political and security issues.
There's a very simple numerical fact. Africa, depending on how you count them, you're looking at, what, around 50 votes at the UN. That's quite a lot of arguing power. So, I mean, obviously, there are other continents that also have quite a few countries in them. But I think one of the things that stands out about Africa is that it's a continent where there is, in very loose terms, there is a bit of a culture of collective action. That's quite a lot of votes and quite a lot of political leverage.
Melly says Africa wants to be heard.
I think the tone of engagement really matters. And you can have as many summits as you like, and you can mobilize as much resources as you like. But if you don't get the tone right, if the tone is not seen as sufficiently respectful or understand willing to sit and listen to what African leaders have to say, you can sometimes find that it doesn't work.
Experts say they expect more countries to engage with Africa in coming years. Chacha, however, says the countries on the continent will need to engage more among themselves.
So they will remember 2023 as a year when they made so many interactions with the other international countries and foreign countries, and they will now remember that what they have to learn to do very fast is to network within themselves in order for the other years which are coming, they should have one voice.
Some countries like France have expanded their approach in dealing with Africa, not only inviting its leaders but also its youth, women, activists and business people to foster good relations. Tensions, however, remain between France and some of its former colonies in Africa. They include Burkina Faso, Mali and Niger, which have kicked out French forces. Coups have also occurred in the three African nations, which recently formed a defense alliance with the aim of fighting jihadists. Mohamed Yusuf, VOA News, Nairobi.
Russia has reopened its embassy in Burkina Faso after nearly 32 years. The French news agency AFP says Russia's ambassador to Ivory Coast, Alexei Soltikov, would head the mission in Burkina Faso until the new ambassador is named. Soltikov described Burkina Faso as an old partner with whom Russia has had solid and friendly ties. Since coming to power in September 2022, Burkina Faso's ruling junta has distanced itself from France, its historic partner, and moved closer to Russia. Moscow has pledged to deliver free grain to the African country, which is one of the world's poorest. In October, Burkina Faso signed a deal with Russia for the construction of a nuclear power plant to increase the energy supply to the country, where less than a quarter of the population has access to electricity. You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. For more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi faced no serious competition in the recent election that gave him his third term, but he now faces one of the biggest challenges for his leadership, preventing a spillover of the war in neighboring Gaza. The conflict is knocking on Egypt's door with new expenses and troubles on the horizon. Said Sadiq, professor of political sociology at Egypt Japan University, explained to VOA senior analyst Mohamed Al-Shanawi the challenges facing Sisi.
As you know, leaders in the Middle East do not change through the ballot box, but bullets, revolution, coups, and sudden deaths. They are known for staying in office for the longest period in any geographic area in the world. The existing political culture boosts this historical custom. The third term for President Sisi is facing similar internal external challenges, but this time more than before than the previous two terms. Egypt is located in a difficult geopolitical place that makes trouble in the neighbors extend. The trouble in the neighbors extend to its economy and politics. Egyptian borders are unstable with Sudan, Libya, Gaza. The Gaza conflict, of course, affected tourism, and now the Suez Canal, the most important sources of foreign cash. Fear of Israeli pushing Gazans into Sinai continue, especially with Israeli destruction of houses and infrastructure of the Palestinians. What next for Gaza? What is Egypt, especially that this conflict adds to the growing economic crisis it is already facing? Foreign debt had exceeded over $167 billion, overpopulation, rising poverty, the Ethiopian dam, corruption, all add to the burden facing Sisi in his third term, with no clear solution in sight. The third term is even worse and more challenging than the previous two terms, which witnessed terrorism centered mainly in North Sinai, and the economy was not as burdened as it is today.
Egypt's economic performance has been at the top of al-Sisi's agenda since he came to power in 2014, although the president gave hopeful signals to investors and markets in his first 100 days in power by cutting subsidies and raising taxes, results have not lived up to their expectations. How bad is the economic situation in Egypt as President Sisi began his third term?
It remains Achilles' heel, but no one has a solution. Domestic opposition remains weak, and those abroad lost credibility but only provide alternative media outlet. Resentment is high as a result of inflation, growing debts, but civil society remains too weak to offer any solution. The general public opinion also fear sudden unpredictable change may push Egypt into this black hole of failed states in the neighborhood. And that's why this challenge will continue.
Egypt has consistently received poor Freedom House score, 18 out of 100 for two consecutive years. Amid stifling economic pressure, maintaining the control of the press, managing the growing power of the military and the economy, and keeping a loyal opposition will not be easy tasks. Do you expect any political reforms in this third term of President Sisi?
External challenges and upcoming difficult economic resolutions, according to the agreement with the IMF, would require continuing the security grip, not losing it, except if it weakens external opposition or just to show off PR. Possible the regime may accept the return of some opponents who were in Turkey and other places to show a sign of political openness and tolerance. But opening up the regime during all this difficult regional and domestic situation is highly unlikely for this intelligent security military elite ruling Egypt. Note that Egypt is also located in a sea of authoritarian regimes, and all affect each other and all have an impact on each other. So it is impossible that Egypt would become the Westminster or the Scandinavia of the Middle East, while all your neighbors are failed states or authoritarian despotic states.
That was Said Sadiq, professor of political sociology at Egypt Japan University, speaking with VOA's Mohammed Al-Shenawi. In 2023, demolished temperature records worldwide. It was the hottest year on record, and some scientists say the hottest in 125,000 years. Those supercharged temperatures helped drive a series of climate disasters around the world. VOA Steve Baragona has a look back.
Wildfires in Canada, flooding in Libya. Two disasters in a year of weather extremes. 2023 will go down as the hottest year on record. Every month from June through November was the hottest for that time of year. Sarah Kapnick is chief scientist at the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
July 2023 was the warmest July on record for the globe, and it was the warmest July by a long shot.
September's global temperatures were so much hotter than normal that one climate scientist called them absolutely gobsmackingly bananas. Relentless heating from human-driven climate change, plus the periodic global weather phenomenon known as El Niño, drove extreme weather around the world, says Deputy Director Samantha Burgess of the European Union's Copernicus Climate Change Service.
So we know with this extra heat in the atmosphere, it brings with it extra energy, which means we get more intense extreme events.
Not every bout of bad weather is due to climate change. But climate scientists, what the World Weather Attribution website, found the fingerprints of global warming on these weather disasters. In April, Thailand and Laos broke all-time high temperature records. The scientists say that heat wave was nearly impossible without climate change. The Western Mediterranean shattered temperature records that month in a heat wave made 100 times more likely. Southern Europe roasted again in July. So did China and the United States-Mexico border region. The southwestern U.S. city of Phoenix logged 31 days over 43.3 degrees Celsius, or 110 Fahrenheit. That's a record, says University of Arizona environmental planning professor Kathy Jacobs.
This is not a record anyone wanted to break, but it's definitely one that people in Phoenix are not happy about.
The intensity of these heat waves was almost impossible without climate change, according to World Weather Attribution. But on today's hotter planet, we can expect them every 5, 10, or 15 years. Higher temperatures dry out soils and vegetation faster. That helped make the record-breaking wildfires that ravaged eastern Canada this year at least 7 times more likely and 50% more intense. That's also what amplified the severe droughts in Syria, Iraq, and Iran, and the food security crisis in Somalia and the rest of the Horn of Africa. Both were made at least 100 times more likely. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
Although Somalia makes virtually no contribution to climate change, the Somalis are among the greatest victims.
Climate change intensifies droughts, but also floods, because warmer air holds more water, which means heavier rainstorms, like the one that burst dams in Libya in September and killed thousands. The World Weather Attribution Team says it was 50 times more likely and 50% more intense than it would have been without climate change. And November's torrential rains in the Horn of Africa were about twice as intense. Frederica Otto leads the World Weather Attribution Group.
Already the drought has brought many people in the area to the brink of what they are able to deal with. And this now followed by floods really shows the limits of what people can adapt to are really not far off in many parts of the world. And as long as we are keeping burning fossil fuels, these things will happen again and again and again.
Forecasters say El Nino probably will taper off around the middle of next year, but there's no sign that climate change is letting up. As we continue to warm the planet, weather that used to be extreme is happening more and more often. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
This is our last show for 2023. Let's hear from some of our listeners about who will share their thoughts about the year's end. From Johannesburg, South Africa, here is Dennis Masuku.
2023 was very tough year for me. Yeah. But I felt like everyone has felt it. It was like a really rough year for everyone.
In Kampala, Uganda, Isabel Ipiu was upbeat.
2023 has been an amazing year for me. I completed my PhD in Australia. The award was given on the 5th of May in the University of New South Wales in Sydney. And we recently celebrated this at Kololo because I'm the first anesthesiologist in Uganda to be awarded a PhD. And also in East Africa, the first female anesthesiologist to be awarded a PhD. So I'm excited. It's been a great year for me.
And here's George Juraki Kamara in Liberia.
VOA. What a wonderful, wonderful experience it has been. I'm George Juraki Kamara, and I'm from Monrovia. I would like to wish you guys a prosperous new year. Thank you all. Thank you all. And I look forward to having a very wonderful experience throughout 2024 and beyond. Bring out the old, bring in the new.
So, from Washington, D.C., we here at the Voice of America wish everyone a very happy 2024. Tune in next year. The United Nations Human Rights Chief says he is deeply alarmed by the sting of attacks on villages in central Nigeria, which left nearly 200 dead. Armed groups launched attacks between Saturday evening and Tuesday morning in Nigeria's Plateau State, a region plagued for several years by religious and ethnic tensions. The region is on the dividing line between Nigeria's mostly Muslim north and mainly Christian south. The French news agency AFP says UN Rights Chief Volker Turk is calling on Nigerian authorities to investigate this incident promptly, thoroughly, and independently, and to hold those responsible to account in their fair trials. And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, Cedric Franklin, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.